Okay, good luck, everybody. We're on Peah Ayin Beis Omen Aleph. Radio check, everybody hears me okay? Morty Sanders just went offline. You know, maybe I said something that he didn't like. I'm not sure. Sweet, you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Halacha Zayin, Ayin Beis Omen Aleph. If a person has 200 zuz, 200 zuz is considered, by the way, 1 year's worth of food, enough money to keep you going for a year.
Before
8%
inflation.
Before, whatever it is. So therefore, I mean, just to answer your, just to address that point you just said, therefore, the 200 zuz is completely fluid. If it's, you know, if you need $10,000 nowadays to leave for a year, then it's more than 200 zuz, okay? Hold on, if you have 200 less of dinner, if he has 199 zuz, then even if they want to give him 1,000 zuz, he can take it.
Which is the gematria of Zaka. Zaka is 199.
It is?
Oh.
Well, how about that? Does he hear that, Sri? It's 199 is tzedakah. If the let's say part of his nechasim were a part of the designated collectibles for the ksuba of his wife, or was designated as a collectible for debt, meaning it doesn't go into the cheshbon of the 200 zuz. So you can take, even though that property may be worth 200 zuz.
So it's net worth, basically.
It's
net worth.
Net worth. Unencumbered, yeah, whatever.
Net worth is after debt.
After debt.
After debt.
After debt. Yes. And also, when you're calculating worth, the Mishnah says you don't have to sell your house, you don't have to sell your dishes in order to get to the 200 zuz. We're going to see more detail about this in the Gemara. One detail which we did a little into a Pankinievsky Sefer on the Rambam, I'm not going to get into it now because it's a long arichas, but it's something to think about. so it works out. Well, you know what? Let me wait till the Gemara because I want to tie it to the next story we're about to read. Chan Talmud, Zok de Gemara. Chan Talmud mid the Rebbe. There was one Talmud of Rebbe, Holy Messiah, plus a dinner. He had 200 less a dinner. But have a Rebbe of Zoki, Ime, Chanel, plus Shni, Meiser. Let me read in the English side. It's easier, the souls are not so good. So he had 200 less, and Rebbe used to go every time, once every 3 years, because that's the Meiser Ani years, and just prior to, let's assume that the pshat is that it's just prior to the beer, he has to dump all his Meiser Ani out of his house before he could say Biyati HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vice, and he used to give all his Meiser Ani to the student every year. So, of the Metalmidoi in Abisha, they apparently had like some sort of jealousy, or they didn't like this for some reason. Maybe they thought Rebbe was showing him favoritism. Not 100% sure what was bothering them about this, Talmud getting this Maiserani. Well, Malin, like, so what they do? They gave him a dinner, causing his assets to go over 200 zuz. Also, by Mizaki Mei, so that year Rebbe came. On Malay, he says, Rebbe Yisli Shura, I'm over the limit. I had 200 ready. Omar, so he said, Zemachas Prushim Nagubo. This is, he's been hit by these phony people who try to make themselves look like they're real Halakha people. They make themselves like a big tzaddikim, giving him tzedakah when they know good and well, giving him tzedakah was not correct. Hello?
Didn't we?
Hello, go down the next shelf. Okay?
Yeah, you're right.
Very good.
Didn't we say before that you can't give everything to like your family members? If you had a lot, you could give half to them, you had to give half to other people?
What's that got to do with my Sarani?
Didn't we say that before?
Yes, you are correct. We did say that.
Right, so it seems like Rebbe's giving everything to this one Talmud. Maybe he just gave him a lot. Is that what the story is?
Yeah, well, he's allowed to give the Talmud. It's not his family. It's somebody he knows. And you're allowed to give someone you know all your miser. Absolutely. No problem. And after all, the Mishnah says, afilu noisim le'elav zuz. Someone's giving elav zuz to somebody, right? I mean, according to what you're saying, you'd have to divide up the thousands among, you know, 10, 15, 20 people. There's clearly...
Well, that it seems like for, it, there's a bunch of different people gave him to collectively.
So you're saying there's a bunch of people giving him 1,000. You know, it's very interesting. I mean, let's assume you were right, that you had 500 people giving 2 zuz each, right? So then what would happen is when the guy collects in the first 50 people or first 100 people, he ends up with 200 zuz. Could he continue collecting more stuff later? He hit the limit. This is what I was going to tell you. This is what we were discussing. When exactly do you have to keep cashman every single second? Well, the guy has 199, and he's below the limit 1 zuz. So we tell him, okay, you can go out and collect like a shekel and pay it, right? So you go out to this, you go out to the your local sawdust, you start collecting leket, and after 5 minutes, you're over the limit again. So you have to go home now? You have to stop? That doesn't seem logical to me. I mean, but Reb Chaim has the following case. He says in his footnotes, in Hilchos Matan Sanim, he says, if you're going town to town, you're on a shuluch trip, and you started off as an ani, and you go over the limit during the trip, you got to stop. You can't keep going from town to town and continue to collect money because you're not allowed to take stock at that point.
I never met one guy like that.
Neither did I. So there must be some heter, but I don't know what it is right now. But it's a topic for more Eon on your own. Okay. So I mean here clearly. So this Talmud he was over the limit. Rebbe got upset. He says his magas pushim. Roma's not Talmudim, so he gestured to his Talmudim. Talmudim to Alime Lekepelin. They brought him into a food shop where he spent some money, and he went down 1 carat, whatever that is. And with that, once he went under the limits, and then he was able to give him what he needed to give him. All right. So it does seem that this can go up and down in one day, right? You go up one day, you go down one day. You could go collect the leket, be over the limit, go home, eat breakfast. Now you're below the limit. Go back out, collect lunch. You know, it's a little funny thing here. It's something that needs a little iyun. Mishpachas antavila ha'isav Yerushalayim. There was a certain family. Ha'isav misachas shal onan ha'yivusi. It was a very miyuchas like a family. Went all the way back up to Onan the Yevusi, who sold the field to David HaMelech, which they used to build the base of Mekdash, who later was a Megayer. Pamachas paskal him. Chacham sheish meos kikrizov. So they apparently became poor, and this chacham gave them 600 kikarim of zov, golden kikaris, worth a lot of money of mice or oni crops. So it says over here, shalol lahotzion, and they made a condition, shalol lahotzion chutz Yerushalayim, that they couldn't take the crops out of Yerushalayim. So
Bishar, the cost of living was more in Yerushalayim.
What was that?
The cost of living was more
in Yerushalayim, and they wanted to leave Yerushalayim right? But they made a condition they couldn't take out the Maaserani from Yerushalayim to have a darshan b'sharecha. There was a gzeres shava. It says b'sharecha by Maaserani. So too it says b'sharecha by Maaser Sheni. So this doesn't mean that all Maaserani you have to take to Yerushalayim. Obviously, that's not correct at all. There is absolutely no obligation to take Maaser Ani to Yerushalayim. But what it means is that if you are an Ani, that you're getting Maaser Ani in Yerushalayim, then you have to eat it there just like Maaser Sheni. Okay. So, Luram is Yerushalayim. That's what it says. So, the Pasuk says that you have to give him whatever he's missing, right? You have to maintain his previous standard of living. So, the Gemara says, Vatani Maaser B'Hilal Zokein. There was a Maisa with Hillel, Shalachach Wali Ben Toivim. He took a poor person from an aristocratic family, Susachad Li Samobo. He gave him a horse, and Evel Shamsho, he gave him a servant, Shumaisa Ba'an Shegol, another story, Shayimalim Lazokin Achad, Litra Basar Tziporim Bukhoyom. That there was this Zokin who was used to eating poultry each day. The Gemara, by the way, is assuming that poultry at the time of Chazal was actually more expensive than meat. So poultry was a very big delicacy, and he gave him this was an extremely expensive amount of food to eat every day. Now, the Gemara says, Eshrakein, is it possible to be required to feed him so much money, to spend so much? It says, there are different ways to ask this question. Now, if you look at Mara Fulda, he says, Eshrakein, that you only have to give him what he's missing, not to give him, like, you know, extravagant stuff. You give him what he's missing, which is a funny way to ask a question, because if he was used to eating so much, maybe that's what we're talking about. So why would the Gemara be asking that question? Another way to learn the Pshat, which is very interesting, is Rash Sirlo. He has a whole different way of learning this. Now, Esher Kane, he says, Mi sagi le litra basar? Is a litra basar enough? He says, Im hoyu lo avodim uvnei bayis, HaTorah Amra, the Soveyu, the Torah says they have to be satisfied. So how is a litra basar going to be enough for him and all his family and his whole contingent of people? That this, probably your grandfather, great-grandfather, who knows what he has, has got some mishpacha. So how are they being able to? So Rav Sirlo has a completely different way to learn the Gemara. So we have two ways to learn the Gemara. The Gemara's question, Eshrakein, either is it necessary to feed him so much, or is this going to be enough? And the answer is going to change also based on these two pshatim. Elad lai hava ochel im choronim. So according to the last pshat we said, it means that he didn't eat with other people, he ate alone. So therefore it was enough food. That would be the pshat according to Cirillo. According to the first pshat, it's because he cannot eat other dishes. Poultry was therefore considered a necessity for this poor person. That's the English at the top. Next, Tony, on 72b. Tony, how you mashash plays off. If he was accustomed to using gold dishes, right, gold utensils, nice and clay tests if you give him silver utensils. In other words, you have to go down one level. We're not going to make him eat off, you know, plastic, but we are going to make him custard shell. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dole feels this isn't good for business.
But we just learned in the Mishnah that you don't make him sell the kaolin.
Good question. So you don't
Where did this money come from to buy him the dishes?
It's from before.
Is this from the Koopa, the Tomploy? Who collected money to give him the dishes?
No.
We're trying to figure out.
Got it as wedding presents.
He has 200. We're trying to figure out. Is he over the limit of 200 zuz? That's the question.
Uh-huh.
So now we're assessing what he owns. Well, he happens to have a $10,000 set of fine china. So it seems kind of not fair that he shouldn't be considered. So the Gemara is saying, you're right, we're not going to force him to sell those dishes to get $10,000, but we are going to make him go down a level. So in a fine china, I'll have Tupperware, whatever it is. I don't know what the next level is. So that's what it says. Gold to silver. Clay kasef, nice and light, clean and kosher. Silver, you go down to copper. Clean and kosher. You go down to please focus. You go down to glass. The glass is at toward the bottom of the stack here. If you give your daughter a silver candelabra, and for a wedding present,
mm-hmm.
and then she goes out after she has some kids and buys a glass candelabra and starts lighting oil in it instead of candles, so you know, it's I'm not saying this happens to me or anything
yeah,
like
never.
That. I'm just giving a theoretical example that it uh-huh. it's going down.
Well, so, okay. Styles have changed.
Styles have changed. Okay, well, I'm just pointing out this little thing. Om Rabbana, Klei Chesef and Klei Zechuchus, the Braisa that says that you have to exchange it, Bigu Fehen, that's through direct contact with their surfaces, meaning it's food utensils. Three, it says, it's only items that one uses without making direct contact with their surface, such as a lamp. It refers even to a utensil that is used through contact with its surface, such as food or clothing. One second. It's a little different than one. At the top, I thought it meant that it. So basically, let me just make this clear. According to the footnote, what he's trying to say here is that it even applies not only to a lamp, but also to things that come in contact with food directly. So it's kind of like a filu bigufayin, even when their surfaces touch food.
Does not apply only to.
Yeah, it's not.
It means apilu.
It means apilu, correct. Okay. Vahatani ha'yimashashu klei melas, noisun le klei melas. It says if he was accustomed to silk clothing, we give him silk clothing. So you see, we don't make him go back. We don't make him go down in value, right? So the Gemara says, kan begufo. Kan b'she'eino gufo. So it depends if he's using it on his body. And the first brisa where you do have to go downgraded, that's where it's not on his body. Apparently, being on your body is very, very difficult for a person. I don't know. You know, I'm not familiar with these things. But content them. I don't know what this means, really, even. I really can't be mocking this thing.
He's not comfortable in cheap clothes.
He's not comfortable. Is that true? Did anybody out there, like, Chaim, you're on the line. Are you accustomed to, like, you know, fancy clothing? Do you understand this concept that if you were used to fancy suits, that to wear a cheap suit would be, like, unbearable for you? Does this make sense?
I wear cheap suits.
What'd you say?
I only wear cheap suits.
You only wear cheap suits. So you're also not familiar with this concept.
No, I think that I can understand it, I guess.
Okay. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says. So, again, Svi, you asked a question before. I didn't mean to ignore your question. I just wanted to read a few more lines. So now your question was, let's get this clear. You asked before, the Mishnah says that we don't force him to sell his kelim. Yet the Gemara here seems to say we're going to be downgrading. We are going to downgrade. So what's the answer to your question? How are we answering the question? So
you make him sell the stuff.
You make him.
Without providing him, he has to take his gold stuff, sell it off, use part of the money to buy silver stuff, and the rest he can use to support himself.
Yeah, let me just bring. I just want to quote you what it says in Din, so this is clear because it might not be coming out as clearly as it says in Shulchan Aruch. Perek Tes Matnas Aniyim Halacha Yudalad. Let me just read this to you real quick. So it says Ein Mechayv Nosel Limkar Espeso Veskli Tashmisho Elam Matalika. One second. Medvar Murm. When is this true? You don't sell. This is talking about the food kelim, in other words, the dishes and cups for drinking and his things that he wears, umatzos and the tablecloths or those sort of or even bedspreads. Those things you don't have to sell. If he had silver and gold, kagon magredes, which is a type of a comb that you use in a bathhouse, or ali, or some kind of something that you chop things on, then you sell them and you buy less than them. So the Rambam is basically laying out the rule. So when the Mishnah says you don't sell, it's only a certain category of kelim. So in other words, basically what it sounds like from here is that when the Gemara that we just read that says if he had clay kesef, or clays off, you make him go to clay chasef, that's not talking, I misspoke. It's not necessarily his dishes, per se, but he has...
Oh, that clay malacha.
He has other, right. He has other kalim sitting in his break front
on display. But something that has to do
with his lifestyle. But if it's a lifestyle, if that's what he eats off all the time, he has silver dishes that he eats off all the time, you're not machayev him to sell those things. That's what apparently it means over here.
I don't want to interrupt the momentum.
Sure.
The lashon of the Gemara is mishtamish bichli zav nosin lo kli kasef. It doesn't sound like they're forcing him to sell at all. It sounds like this is where they're going back to demechsaro when the oilam is trying to restore him back to what he was mishtamish with. Then they downgrade.
You're absolutely right. That language is look at the shinui gersos. If you don't have it, I'm just going to read it to you. He changes that girsa to meichron. So he actually changes the girsa. So you're right. According to the girsa that we have, it is mashma that it's just, but it's clear from the Rambam that way, right? The Rambam says meichron v'lokeach pachas mehem. The Rambam clearly says you sell it and you buy with them. But that's an excellent point. Okay. I didn't tell you this, but Rambam ends off saying, this whole discussion is before he came to collect from public funds, meaning that he has private people, individuals giving him money to help him out. But once he goes to the public funds, Rambam says like this, once you start collecting from public funds, we make him sell his kelim. Why? Because then it's a question of you're stealing from the other aniyim. We got other poor people in here. Why should you be taking money from the public funds when you have all this, you know, resource, all this wealth sitting in your house? It's not fair at that point, you know.
Does it say that any place in the Gemara?
No, so far I only saw that in the Rambam.
I mean, he's really changing what it says here. It says you give him what he's used to. Rambam says that's only if a private guy is giving it to him. But if he goes to the welfare office, I mean, which may be true, but it doesn't say that here. It says yudei machzor asher yechzor lo. I only wear
You're asking a good question. Let's leave it aside. Let's look into that after we're done. Good, great question. Rabbi Oberstein's asking that if there's a din daimachsoro, so how is the Rama making sense? What does he mean by that? Okay, good question. And especially we just said that they gave him, gave that zokain, they gave him, that was clearly public funds. Mm-hmm. They gave that zokain all kinds of stuff. Hillel gave the Eved and he gave the sus. Mm-hmm. So clearly we are giving very expensive things. So what does it mean? You have something to say?
And even according to my old girsa,
yes,
it also isn't exactly a stira. We just have the day machzoro, and now we're saying you downgrade them.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's put that on the side. All right. Okay. So where are we up to now? Let me find the place here. One of the members of the Nasi's household, this Nachas Min Nixai, he went down. In other words, he became oni. They would give him food in earthenware utensils for who ochel, he would eat from it. Umaisav, he would throw up. He couldn't take it. He says, I'm eating from this garbage keli. Mm-hmm. He couldn't take it. Omalei Asha, so the doctor told him, listen, buddy, When the food was cooked, it was cooked in earthenware kalim. So eat the food from the pot that it came from when it was cooked. In other words, you're just upset about the kalim which is being served. Just take from the pot and you'll get used to it. You'll see that it's not so bad. I heard my cousin, he was saying this stuff. The way he learned the pshat was, he said that Yechezkel Hartman, my first cousin once removed, so he said the pshat is that they were telling him, even when you were rich and you were getting from the real fancy stuff, but in the kitchen it was cooked in the earthenware pot, you just didn't see it. So, you know, just
get used to it.
But you'll get used to it. Mm-hmm. It's like a mental thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think this is a Gemara which shows the doctor used psychology. This is a psychology Gemara, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the few. So the Mishnah said that if it's Meshuba to your wife's ksuba or to some of your own money, and that does not go into the cheshbon of the 200 zuz. Akedoin b'balchayim shehu dochek. This is talking about a balchayim who's pushing. He wants his money. So it's not. It's like it's not really mine because you want that which you are owed. What about afilu b'balchayim she'eino dochek? The Gemara is asking a question. Is it true even if he's not pushing? So the Gemara answers, Meshinu hadol. Let's learn it from this Pasha D'Raya, from the other case. It says, if it was dedicated to his wife. So, da isha, this woman, lo b'balchov, she'ena dochekim, who isn't she a person who is not pushing? Meaning, the Gemara is talking about every case, right? So the person's happily married, they just got married, right? Whatever. And there's a field that's meshuba to her ksuba. She's not pushing. She's just, you know, waiting to have a regular life with this guy. She's not pushing to collect her ksuba. So you see that being pushed does not take anything into account. Other mafarshim here learn a little differently. The Rash Zerlo says it quite differently. Da'isha lova chov she'in adochiku, zok the Rash Zerlo, the stomach toni, afilo hi kvar nesua la'acher, loit zorach wa the kvar nisus. He says, even if she's married to someone else already, in other words, we're talking about where he divorced his wife, and it's meshubah to his wife's ksuba, and the Gemara is saying, even if she married somebody else and she doesn't need that money, and she's in pushing for the money, it doesn't make a difference. It's meshubah to her ksuba, and you see that even if she's not dochek, that it still does not count, it still is not counted towards your 200 zuz. That's the Gemara's raya. So, the Gemara vayter, any mechayv noy se limkar? Look at what. We are in 72b2, at the paragraph before the Mishnah. We don't make him sell. Then even when it comes to, you have a separate Shabbos suit, a separate Yom Tov suit. This is very interesting. They're medayik from the Lashon of the Bria Shalmi, that some people had a separate suit for the Yom Tov, because it breaks it out, Klei Regel and Klei Shabbos. I don't have such a thing. I have one suit for Shabbos, and I use that for both Shabbos and for Yom Tov. I don't have a special Yom Tov suit. But here you see that Klei Regel, if you did have that for some reason, Klei Shabbos, and Mechavanos Olimpia, you would not be Mechoyev to sell it. Has anyone ever heard of someone having a suit for Yom Tov here?
Have you ever even heard of this?
I never even heard of this.
Rich people have a lot of suits, you know what I mean?
Rich people.
Well, could it be connected to Aliyah L'Regel, though? Like, it's a whole different Shabbos, you're at home. Aliyah L'Regel is your...
Maybe. So now, Rav Chanina says a person has to have two, he said, translates it, shawls. In other words, this, to me, this is like having a weekday talis and having a Shabbos talis. Echad l'chol v'echad l'Shabbos. My time, what's the source of, how do you know, we know on, right? How do you know that you have to have a Shabbos talis? So they bring a pasuk from Rus, that Naomi says to Rus, v'rachatz, v'sacht, v'sam simlosayach. So Naomi tells Rus, when she's getting ready to go back to Boaz, you'll bathe, anoint yourself, and don your garments. Was she not clothed? What is he telling her to put on your clothes? Ella, elu bigdei shabso. What she's referring to is you're going to wear your best clothes. You're going to wear your Shabbos clothes. And that's the riot the Gemara is bringing, that you see from this pasuk that this person is supposed to have a set of Shabbos clothes. It's like, you know, I was looking at this Gemara when I read this. Were you bothered by the kasha that's bothering me? Can you guess the kasha that's bothering me? If I were to ask you before we started tonight, how do you know you're supposed to have Shabbos clothes? What would you tell me?
Covered Shabbos.
The Kibbutz of Pesach in Yeshaya. Shalaihi luchach b'Shabbos kiluch b'chol. Shalaihi bigdach shal Shabbos kiluch bigdach shalchol. There's a Pesach that we learn out from Yeshaya that you're supposed to have separate begunim for Shabbos. What are we going? Zuchin from Rus. What did the Gemara do over here? We're ignored the most popular drasha. I'm going to leave it open and let you answer the question for yourselves. So, the Gemara vayter kad darsha reb simloi b'tzibura, when he taught this law in public, that means when he taught this law that you have to have Shabbos clothing, his colleagues started crying in his presence. On Rulay, they said, Rebbe, it's easy for you to make a drasha. You're a Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you have the money to darshan, but we're poor people. We only have one set of clothing that we wear all week and on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we supposed to do with this? You're telling us we have to do something. We can't do it. So he said to him, you have to change it a little bit, meaning you have to take, if it's rolled up, you have to unroll it. If it's rolled down, you have to roll it up. You have to make some change in the clothing so that it's nicker, it's l'kovet Shabbos. Min hador, and he quoted the same pasuk for chatzisak v'samach simosayach alach v'yarat b'koren, same pasuk, and then it says v'yaranati k'siv, it says with a yud, I will go down. So the Naomi says, amrullah zuchusi tevrimach, my skos should go down with you. Okay.
So it could be that the raya is from Rus because she was poor.
Oh, that's the answer. That's the answer. Yishkayach, because Rus was poor, we're showing that even someone who is poor also has to have a separate beged. not just rich people, but poor people also supposed to have a separate beged.
But now he's saying that a change is enough. You don't need a separate beged.
He's saying if you don't have it, you don't have it. But if you do it, but if you do have, if you can't afford it,
they were so poor that they didn't have it.
Right, right. That's dirt poor.
Right.
Right.
So if you're dirt, so there's poor and dirt poor.
Yeah, that's true. You do what you can.
That's it.
Va'atila havas amalam relal levosh manan manak the shoso. Again, the same drasha. She just interrupted it with this Yerodity thing. Avram Schwartz, I like to just quote his ha'ara when we read this Gemara. He said to me, "What kind of schus did Naomi have?" The Gemara was talking about a grace of yachson. She is, you know, she was married to she had children that married goyim, and I don't know, you know, what was her grace of yichas? What was Naomi saying that she has such a yichas? My schus, what schus does she have? I'll tell you what Avram said. Avram said that he feels that when someone goes through Shrek L'chel Yisurim, there's no bigger balskos than that person. And she went through Gehenna.
She was a religious woman. She had a lousy husband and lousy kids.
Husband and kids are all dead. Now she's traveling alone. That's a big skos. Yesha Malach Shoval said, okay, next. A person should always say something over B'Shem Omro, and maybe Gula Olam. Hopefully, we'll have a Gula. And with this, we finished Daf Ayin Beis Amud.